Well, hello and welcome to Keep the Republic. Dr. Daniel Bobinski here. And if you've been looking at the news at all over the past day or week or months or maybe even year, you're going to look around and you're going to see these headlines talking about lies and hate and corruption and racism. Well, guess what? That's what we're talking about on today's show. We've got so much news. It's all revolving around all the bad stuff, and we're going to examine it with a little bit of a different perspective, so it's not quite so depressing. And in the second half of today's show, we have with us a recorded interview with Asia Williams. Asia Williams happens to be a county commissioner in Northern Idaho. She's got a very interesting story to tell and some very interesting perspectives. I did a long form interview with her for my podcast, and part of it is just too good to pass up. I wanted to play it for you. You need to hear what she has to say. This is Daniel Bobinski on Keep the Republic. Be right back after this.
With so much of the world's current food supply consisting of dirty, contaminated, genetically modified foods that may have been grown using herbicides and pesticides, increased scrutiny over what you put in your body is of the utmost importance. Even supposedly organic foods found on most grocery store shelves may contain toxic substances, chemicals, and other additives that can be harmful to your health. That's why here at BrighteonStore.com, we subject all our in-house products to extensive lab testing for glyphosate, heavy metals, and microbiology using our state-of-the-art spectrometry equipment to ensure the highest quality of cleanliness and purity. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com today.
I feel that Juvent is helping me to get better every day in every way.
That impact is what has been shown to help improve your bone density. Without that impact, you're missing a very important nutrient in your physical conditioning program.
The Juvent Micro Impact System allows the person to create more joint range of motion. Now I know there's a chance that nourishment can take place to that joint.
Hi, I'm Del Bigtree, and thanks for watching Brighteon TV.
This was made possible by Brighteon.com. After being deplatformed by YouTube, I built Brighteon.com so that we can speak. All voices of dissent are welcome. Join Brighteon.com now, post your videos today, and start building an audience there where you will not be censored. Brighteon.com.
Welcome back to Keep the Republic. Thanks so much for tuning in to Brighteon. This is the place where you're going to get truth uncensored. So make sure you tell your friends about it. Truth uncensored right here on Brighteon TV. Also Brighteon Radio. And by the way, in case you don't know, I also host a Keep the Republic show on the Brighteon Radio, which you can hear on Saturday mornings. I believe it's at 11 o'clock in the morning on Saturday morning, East Coast. That would be, 8 o'clock on the West Coast, so you'd have to get up a little bit early on Saturday. But you can catch the Keep the Republic show on Brighteon Radio as well. So, as I said at the top of the show, we had so much lies and so much hate and corruption and racism in the news. And anymore, I want to just help you understand, because it's almost humorous at this point. It's sad, it's tragic, but it's almost humorous. And that's anytime you see a race baiting thing where it's a hate crime, it's a lie. Look at the thing that happened with NASCAR with the noose, and we have all the FBI long coming down because they got a noose at this black driver's garage, and all it ends is a thumb hook so for they can pull down people are making mountains out of, they're seeing racism where it doesn't exist. And one of those was the situation with Jesse Smollett. Now, you probably remember the story. The guy came out and said, oh, I was attacked by a bunch of Trump supporters and they beat me up. And the fact is that he paid these guys to beat him up and to say these things so that he could make mountain out of molehill. It was all fabricated. And what's so darn funny is that Joe Biden came out and tweeted this. He's the day of the event, the day it was announced, he says, what happened today to Jesse Smollett must never be tolerated in this country. We must stand up and determine that we no longer have this hate safe harbor, that homophobia and racism have no place in our streets or in our hearts. We are with you, Jesse. Well, then later on, as you probably heard, come out that it was all contrived and it was all fake. And Fox News recently did a little expose where they got the guys who actually beat him up. And they did a little walk us through what happened. And we have the video here, courtesy of Fox News. I want to go ahead and roll this for you so you can hear it from their own lips. Let's go ahead and roll that.
They took our beautiful bench. This is where we waited for Jesse to come before we attacked them. So we got here with 10 minutes to spare. And we had to plan our escape route to survey the land. His building is actually right here, right above the stairs that we're going to attack him at. We made sure we got there at 2 a.m. sharp.
On the dot.
On the dot. We had no phones because he did not want us to bring any phones. He said, so we don't lose them. I don't know if that's really the reason, but you can deduce your own reason. So 2 a.m., he was nowhere to be found. He was not there. So we were like, damn, what do we do? We didn't have no way of contacting him. He had no way of contacting us. So we waited here for about, what, four minutes?
It was about four minutes. But it felt like forever.
Because it was cold as balls. So I saw him out the corner of my eye, and I was like, okay, that's him. Let's go. We gotta go get this Empire fat. Yeah, that's him. That's him. Is that him?
That's that Nick.
Stand Nick.
Yeah, that Nick.
Oh, he's moving fast. Come on, let's get him.
Get that Nick.
Let's get him. As we crossed the street, we said, hey, to get his attention.
Hey, Nick.
Hey. He turned around, looked at us, and that's when we started yelling the famous slurs he wanted us to yell. Hey.
Aren't you that Empire
Nick? Empire fat Nick. It's MAGA country. Yeah. And then he said, what did you say to me? And then that's when I threw the first punch at him. I held the blow, because I didn't want to hurt him, of course. So I made it look real, but I held it. Then we started tussling, moving around, and then I threw him to the ground. He wanted it to look like he fought back. That was very important for him, because he said, hey, don't just beat my ass. Make it look like I'm fighting back and whatnot. So we did that. And then I threw him to the ground. And after I threw him to the ground, he had no bruise. I wanted it to look more real. So then I threw him to the ground. After I threw him to the ground, I used my knuckle and gave him a noogie. So I went like this. Why did I do that? To give him a scar, to give him a mark, to make it look real, like he really did get his ass beat. After I did that, I fake kicked him. I don't know what he was doing. I wasn't paying attention.
That's where I came around with the bleach, the infamous bleach in the hot sauce bottle, poured it on his shirt. Then I finally put the rope around his face. I did not put it around his neck. I just placed it on his face, and that's when we took off.
Oh, thanks to Liberty Daily for putting that up on their site. Fox News provided that for us. I'm going to tell you, these hoaxes, they're all over the place. Even here in conservative Boise, Idaho, where I make my home, we have a university in town and we have the occasional race hoax. It's a race incident along the Greenbelt by the river, and it's a big thing in the news, and oh, we got to stop all this hate. And it turns out it's a hoax. I can't tell you how many times, and anymore, these guys keep doing this. The more we see this, the more we realize our first thought, it's a hoax. We stop believing it. So they're shooting themselves in the foot. They really want it to be a race war. They want it to be us against them so they can institute their little Marxist theology into our society. We'll be talking more about that later in the show. Along the same lines of all this hate, we have the first gentleman. Now, this is the first time in our country we've ever had a first gentleman. Or actually, he's the second gentleman. I take that back. Maybe we had a first gentleman a couple of presidencies ago. Yeah, topic for a different discussion. But we have a second gentleman right now, and his name is Douglas Emhoff. He happens to be the husband of Kamala Harris. Cackle Harris. This is the lady who couldn't get not even 1% of the vote when she's running for president, but somehow Joe Biden deemed that she was going to be the perfect vice president, that if he were to roll over and die, she could become president. Scary thought. Anyways, this guy was recently talking about the hate because he goes to the Holocaust Museum. Apparently he's Jewish or something, and he has some thoughts about this. Let's go ahead and roll this tape.
To talk about how we can combat hate and anti-Semitism. I also met some Ukrainian refugees who were there. We need to support them. And I met one woman who was saved in the Holocaust in Germany, settled in Ukraine, and is now a refugee again back in Berlin, where she originally left as a Jew in the Holocaust. So you can't, these are the stories that are happening out there. And so this stuff is so important. This hate is interconnected. You see it in the discourse in the country right now. You see it in the divide that we have, and that just going to the school meeting, you see that hate that is out there. We've got to step up and speak out, and we've got to call out the cowards out there. People, as my wife likes to say, these so-called leaders, but she's right. Because you can't be in leadership if you're not going to lead.
Is he talking about Joe Biden there or his wife? Couldn't figure out the lack of leadership, the so-called leadership. I jest. But I don't. I really don't. Here he's talking about hate and the divisiveness that we have in this country. And I want to raise the question, and I will raise it in the second half of the show as well. Who is causing this hate? Who is bringing the division? You've heard for decades now, strength through diversity. Well, what's the root word of diversity? It is division. We don't get stronger by being divided, and yet that's the mantra that people are told. And so from a very young age, kids learn this idea that we're going to be stronger if we're more diverse. No, quite the opposite. We have strength with unity. That's where strength comes from. But rather than focus on what unites us, the people on the left are hell-bent on pointing out what divides us. They create divisions. They highlight divisions. They emphasize divisions. And then now we have this guy, our second gentleman, saying that we have this hate, and he's correlating it to the Nazis. He's talking about this lady who was in Germany, who goes back to Ukraine and ends up going back to Germany because of hate. Sorry, Mr. Second Gentleman, not true. The hate that is coming from the people on the left. It is being instituted into our school system that hate is systemic, and it's always going to be there, especially if you're white and male. Ooh, scary. Hey, I got some news from Mr. Second Gent. If those of us that come against the division are being called haters, if that's what you want to call us, then you're going to have to look God in the eye and call him a hater as well. Because I want to refer you to a passage from Proverbs. Let's pull this up. This is Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, feet that are quick to rush to evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. So, Mr. Second Gent, Mr. M. Hoff, if you feel it's so important to come against hate, I guess you're going to have to go challenge God. Because those of us that stand with God, look at what people like you are doing. Jesse, whatever he pronounced his name, Smollett, lying, telling us that he was beat up by a bunch of right-wing Trump supporters, which is an outright lie. We're not supposed to hate that. And I don't hear you calling that out. I don't hear you calling out the falsehoods. So maybe we should continue. How about the people who are deceiving, devising wicked schemes? When you've got people in the Department of Education who come up with plans to infiltrate our children with thinking that is not true, and you want them to believe it's true, as you're going to hear in the second half of the show, Asia Williams is going to be talking about this because she's seen it firsthand, where you have the teachers who are dividing the students and they're brainwashing the students to get them to think that it's even wrong to have unity, that you have to see the division or something's wrong with you. I'm very concerned about the leadership of this country, and that's why I did want to interview Asia Williams and why I have her on the second half of the show, because she's somebody who decided to get involved. And you hear me say this a lot on this show. We've got to get involved at the local level. We have in this country, 435 people sitting in the House of Representatives in Washington, D.C. That's supposed to represent 350 million people, 330, whatever the number happens to be, plus all the quote unquote illegals that are out there. They're supposed to be representing us. In my state, I have 1.9 million people in this state. That means for every 950,000 people, I've got one representative. If I want to get in touch with somebody, it's going to be a little bit difficult. But I have a much easier time getting involved with somebody at the local level. And that's why I encourage people who have solid Christian principles to get involved at the local level, because that's where you can make a difference. And that's what Asia decided to do. She did move to Idaho to homestead with her family, bought a nice chunk of land up in northern Idaho, in rural Idaho, and saw the disgrace that was the county commissioner board. And she said, you know what, I can make a difference. And she did. So I'm going to encourage you to stay tuned for the second half of the show, because at the top, we have pretty much nothing but corruption. And with that, I want to also play for you a little bit of that from RFK Jr., Robert F. Kennedy Jr. This is the guy who runs Children's Defense Fund, thank you, and also authored the book, The Real Anthony Fauci, Exposing the Lies of Fauci. Here is a guy who has seen it on the inside. He was in the White House back in the early 60s when his father was the Attorney General. He was there when his father was running for president. He's now seeing it even here in 2023. Let's go ahead and roll this tape from Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Presidential candidates, whether it's Obama or President Trump or Biden, come into office saying, I'm going to get rid of the swamp. I'm going to get rid of the corruption. But then they get in there and something happens. You know, Trump got in there saying, I'm going to get rid of the swamp. He asked me to be on a vaccine safety commission. When that news got out, Pfizer gave him $1 million for the inauguration and then for his inaugural party. And then he appointed two of Pfizer's lobbyists, Scott Gottlieb and Alex Azar, to run HHS. And they killed the Vaccine Safety Commission. And then Gottlieb went to serve on Pfizer's board. That is the swamp. And they, you know, when these guys get in there, what happens to them, they either get co-opted because all the money and because all the congressional chairs are captured by those agencies, so they can't do anything unless they do what they're told, or they just get overwhelmed because these agencies are so huge and the corruption is so entrenched in them that they don't know how to fix it. They're not going to go in the weeds and fix it.
No. And they're not going to go in the weeds and fix it because it is huge. And the money is huge. And the corruption is great. Here we have everybody's favorite, Donald Trump. and he's calling them out. Now, I know I've got a lot of folks who watch this show who are Trump supporters. And quite frankly, if I was given the opportunity to vote for somebody today, I would probably cast my vote for Donald Trump, because I think he's most likely to drain the swamp. Except when I hear stories like this, it concerns me, because Trump's going to have to go, no, no more of this. If we're really going to drain the swamp, then we really need to drain the swamp. Just to review what Mr. Kennedy said, he was asked by Trump to be on the Vaccine Safety Commission. The word of that got out, and Pfizer decides to give Donald Trump $1 million for his inauguration party. Well, what does Trump do in response? He becomes swamp-like. He brings on Pfizer's two of Pfizer's lobbyists, I'm sure they have more than two, and puts them in charge of the HHS, the Health and Human Services Department. And what do? They cancel the Vaccine Safety Commission. Gee, how convenient. How convenient that then, what? A number of years later, we have these two guys who are now sitting on the board of Pfizer saying, oh, we've got to get this vaccine out there, because now they're going to make record billions of dollars. What, they made, what, $20, $30 billion with that vaccine off of your tax money and my tax money. That is corruption, if there ever was corruption. And yet we have even our friendly Donald Trump, who's supposed to be draining the swamp, participating in that. I bring this up not to slam President Trump, but to point out that mankind has an evil heart. Mankind is easily corrupted. I believe it was George Washington who said, few men have the ability to withstand the highest bidder. When someone donates $1 million to your campaign's inauguration and you take it and then put their two people in charge of a department, that just smells of corruption. Well, hopefully, Mr. Trump has learned his lesson. You're writing some more on this, that you'll be talking more about Mr. Trump as we go. But when you have this kind of thing happening in our country, you need to get involved locally. I'm going to just throw this out there for you to consider. Not making a prediction, I'm making something for you to consider. Consider the possibility that this country gets to the point where Joe Biden is so inept and the leadership is so corrupt and it becomes so public that that's the case, that some states start to say, you know what, we're done with this. We're going to go back to being our own country, our own state, because a state is a nation. If you go over to Europe, right, it's the state of Denmark. It's the state. These are nation states. We have 50 states that have come together under one banner. What happens? Just what happens if this decides to split up? There darn well better be some conservatives sitting in office to take the reins if your state happens to be one of those that says, bye-bye, feds. I'm not making a prediction. I'm just saying, think. Think outside the box. And even if that never happens, even if that were to never happen, even if everything stays the same, wouldn't it be great to have constitutionally minded conservatives in office in your hometown, in your state, so that you can make sure that the Constitution is being followed? That's what we're about here. I'm going to be testifying on, tomorrow. I'll be testifying at my state capitol for a bill called Protect the Guard, because quite frankly, I'm tired, as are many others, of our presidents declaring police actions or wars without following the Constitution, sending our people into combat. So I'm going to go and I'm going to remind our legislators that we have a Constitution. Section 1 is about the legislature in the federal government. They're the ones who have the ability to declare a war. So if we're going to have a war, they need to declare it. And this act to protect the guard, it's going to prevent our state from sending our state's National Guard overseas unless there is a war declared by Congress. Your state should do the same. We need to get back to following the Constitution. Well, as I said, local involvement is important. And coming up in the second half, we're going to be listening to an interview that I recorded with Asia Williams. She is a county commissioner in Northern Idaho. She's got a very diverse background. She's worked in the public sector, the private sector. She's been a nurse. She's been a director of nursing. She has overseen risk management, quality risk management in healthcare, process improvement, Six Sigma. And just to give you a little bit about what she's going to be talking about, I want you to go ahead and listen to this tape from San Francisco. Let's go ahead and roll this.
Happening right now, several San Francisco supervisors have expressed their commitment to reparations for the Black community. The African American Reparations Advisory Board presented a draft report today with more than 100 recommendations. There's a potential one-time lump sum payment of $5 million to those who qualify. There could also be policy changes to address the wealth gap, infant mortality rates, and mass incarceration.
And with that, we also have the Kellogg's Corporation, that, you know, the breakfast cereal people, they have come out and said that they're going to be spending $91 million to fight racial division, to create some kind of equity within their company. And yet we're going to be playing a little video of where they're slashing their money, really, to get this money to go on equity. More with Asia Williams here on Keep the Republic right after this break.
Many watching Bridey on TV will remember the fiery speech from Dr. Alan Keyes at the annual State Republican Dinner that ended in repeated standing ovations. Dr. Keyes has been an articulate and passionate spokesman for faith, convictions, and consistently strong enough to resist the tug of political convenience. Alan pierces through the ethical haze of our time and calls us to stand up for the truth, knowing that you cannot have the right to do wrong. Get your download of Our Character, Our Future, an audiobook by Dr. Alan Keyes, exclusive to the Bridey on TV audience. Dr. Alan Keyes personally read and recorded our exclusive audiobook version of his timeless essays in Our Character, Our Future for this very special promotion. You can order it by going to www.imtv.us and click on Special Offer. It's available at only $19.95 for a very limited time. You'll not only enjoy a tremendous savings, but you'll get an amazing piece of literature read by Dr. Alan Keyes himself. Get yours today. Go to www.imtv.us and get this Brighteon TV exclusive offer.
Hey, this is Pastor Todd Coconato, and I'm just going to tell you, Brighteon TV is the place it's at. I was just walking around the Weird Wake America tour, and all these people are talking about how they've seen us on Brighteon, because that's where patriots need to go. Free speech platform, support it. Our ministry is called Todd Coconato Ministries. You can go to pastortodd.org, but make sure whatever you do, Brighteon is the free speech network. We love it, support it, stand with Brighteon, and thank you for having me on Brighteon.
Your own government has the power to activate a kill switch on all telecommunications, instantly shutting down all private phone calls and texts. An EMP weapon or solar flare can achieve the same result. Rolling blackouts or permanent power outages will also take out the power supply to cell tower antennas, rendering mobile devices all but useless. During these emergencies, how do you stay in touch with the important people in your life anywhere on the planet? The answer is the Bivy Stick at SAT123.com. The Bivy Stick is a two-way satellite text messaging device that uses a satellite constellation, not cell towers, to send and receive text messages. It works anywhere on planet Earth, including in war zones or blackout areas. In unpredictable times, the Bivy Stick helps you stay connected when it matters most. Visit SAT123.com to get one while they're still available.
Welcome back to Keep the Republic. Dr. Daniel Bobinski here, and you're tuned in to Brighteon TV. And one of the things you can do to support this channel and the Brighteon Network overall is shop at the Brighteon Store. Brighteonstore.com. And when you're shopping, you can save yourself some money if you use the promo code KTR. KTR, easy to remember, Keep the Republic. You can pick up all sorts of organic stuff, supplies that will help you with your survival approach and your prepping approach. I happen to shop at the Brighteon Store. My friends shop at the Brighteon Store, and I'm going to strongly recommend that you shop at the Brighteon Store as well. Again, to save yourself some money when you do that, just use the promo code KTR. And like I said, you're going to be supporting the Brighteon Network when you do that. All right, coming up now, is my interview, or part of my interview, actually, with Asia Williams, who is a county commissioner in Northern Idaho. She is, we spoke about a lot of things. We recorded for my podcast, and I was reviewing it. I'm going, wow, a lot of this stuff would sound very, very good on the TV show. So I cut a piece out, and we're just going to play it for you now, let you listen in. Talking about that thing in San Francisco and the Kellogg's thing and all of this, let's go ahead and roll this tape with Asia Williams.
So I was on Ellen Key's show this past week, and he was asking me about, are these people, you know, like letting people cross the border and all this stuff, are they just stupid? And the first thought that went through my head was, well, they're woke, which I suppose if you extrapolated that out, yeah, they're stupid. But we have all this wokeism happening in our education system. And Dr. Duke Pesta was on my show a couple of weeks ago talking about how all these people who are bringing this woke education to our classrooms, they're all graduating from teacher colleges. So Here you are in a rather remote rural section of a state. We've got a pretty big country here. You got, you know, a lot of population on the coast. Most of the folks who watch this show might be what's called flyover country, rural, still experiencing this wokeism in their classrooms. Are you experiencing it in your rural part of the state?
We are, and I'll say it again, it's coming from the funding that goes into the schools. Our federal money, a lot of it is coming with these requirements of inserting the social emotional learning in the classroom. And so we're going to change, that is the change from the critical race theory. And that woke ideology has already penetrated because the cost benefit the school is, well, we need the free lunch program. You heard this administration tell you that if the schools weren't accepting of the LGBTQ agenda, then the free lunch program was going to not be available to students. So the federal government, regardless of what local government wants, is inserting that into your community by way of the federal money that comes. And that again is goes back to, you have to pay attention to what happens locally so that you can see what the requirement is of taking this money from the federal government.
All the more reason to get involved locally. All the more reason. I want to say hats off to you for doing it. So are you okay talking about the subject of reparations?
Sure, I'd like my check. They're just going to keep saying, I need a check. Just give me the check.
So in the news this week, I was visiting my dad, and he was telling me that he's up in arms that the fact that here we have the San Francisco Board of Supervisors has said they've put out this big study, and one of the recommendations is that everybody who qualifies, every Black person who qualifies, could get $5 million. What are your thoughts on what's happening in San Francisco with all this?
First, there is not any intention that they're going to be handing out money. It is a very significant psychological assault on the country as a whole, because the purpose is to make a people feel like you are disenfranchised, that you are a victim, that you are owed something, that someone took something from you, and you'll never actually get it, to solidify that woke left propaganda in the country. I didn't come from the best of background, and I didn't get to grow up saying I'm owed something. I had to put my feet to the pavement and do the right thing and move forward with life. It's frustrating as a Black person to sit and watch how our government consistently tells us that as Black people, we are disenfranchised because of slavery. Don't get me wrong, there are some negative impacts on culture because of slavery, but at the rate in which this government is teaching you and inserting it, it's not accurate. When I look at slavery's impact on the Black family as a whole, it's not in the ways that they're advertising it to you today. It is, I think that the longer impact on slavery had to do with education and the family structure. The deconstruction of the family structure was the biggest impact of slavery, and that Black people needed to come back together and reconstruct the family unit. But what did we do? And not, and this goes beyond just Black people, but people in general. We've used the government to be the father in the home of our people. And that is, it's hard to watch because it is very difficult to tell somebody you're not owed $5 million, rise above $5 million. That's not how it works. But you can definitely plant the seed of hate for your fellow man, regardless of what the race is. If I tell you, you are owed something from a government, forgetting that California didn't have slavery, forgetting whether or not you were a slave yourself. We are just saying, because someone years ago had a negative, you therefore are the descendant of a victim. Therefore, you are a victim. There was a story on ESPN where somebody was arguing the point that the MVPs in basketball were chosen by 80% white people. And I think it was Charles Barkley that made the comment of, why do we insist on talking about victimhood? Not only was it not correct, but when do we get to celebrate the success of Black people and not hold Black people into this pigeonhole of an era? We have success as Black people that far exceeds what we remember. We're stuck on Rosa Parks, Martin Luther King Jr., and slaves. A lot has happened since then. I think as I ran for office and I've done a lot of speeches at schools, one of the things that bothers me is I always say is, when I get up to speak, I'll always be the exception to the rule because the government teaches you that I am disadvantaged, uneducated, and therefore if you see me speaking properly, I'm the one that got away instead of the example of what is a Black educated individual. That is systemic and intentional. And that does, in my opinion, come from the left intentionally to continue to hold people down. And Black people have to choose to move away from that thinking. And it will only come from Black people doing it.
So you mentioned systemic. I mean, would it be fair to say then that the systemic racism is actually coming from the left?
100%. You have a lot of, look at the media right now when you see conservative Black people, how well are they received in the media? How well is Clarence Thomas received in the media?
He's an Uncle Tom.
How well is Candace, and you can say that because you're not the right kind of Black person. And so that is from the left. And arguably, why do Black people accept that language? You look at the Black Lives Matter movement, there is nothing about Black lives that's being improved with that program.
No.
It's engendering hate, it's highlighting, it's encouraging, it's giving you the pinpoint of time to show, look at these Black teenagers that assaulted this white person for being white. How is that helping Black people? It's not. And that is intentional from the left, because that's how you control people.
So a couple things there. One of which is in the news this past week, and that's Kellogg's, the cereal company, the food company Kellogg's. They have come out and said that they're going to be giving $91 million to help increase their equity in their company. Before I show you that, let's go ahead and show you what happened a year ago. Because a year ago, you had people wanting to go on strike against Kellogg's because of, well, let's just go ahead and play this video.
Personal life? You don't have a personal life. I work here every single day.
Kellogg's is a trade-off. You're living here to support your family, but you're missing out on that time.
The union claims they're forced to work 7 days a week and significant amounts of overtime. The fact is, in 2020, our cereal manufacturing employees worked an average of 52 to 56 hours per week. However, 90% of the time, employees volunteered for the extra hours.
Well, it pissed me off when I first saw the video because we really do work 7 days a week, 24/7.
I've been working every single Saturday, every single Sunday, Monday through Friday. Sometimes I'll get forced over because people won't show up because they're sick, vacation, whatever. I lost count how many hours I put in this plant in the last year. So say for example, you have a family. You work from the 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. shift. You got kids you gotta go pick up after school. You know you're gonna get forced over because there's a lack of manpower inside Kellogg. So what we do is what we call defensive signing. That individual now signed for the 3 a.m. to 7 a.m. shift. So they will get picked up for that because all three shifts are short people. So yes, this person signed, but he would have been forced anyways.
There's a point system in place. Once you get to a certain point, you'll be terminated. Even though a person may have problems, they may have children at home, pets at home, they may have people that they're taking care of.
the average 2020 earnings for the majority of our hourly cereal employees was $120,000 per year, and more than a third earned between $120,000 and $200,000.
I don't make nowhere near that $120,000. In order to make that, you're working 16 hours a day, every day, holidays, birthdays, anniversaries.
There was threats of closing a couple of plants, so the concession was to keep all four plants running. They brought in people who are making less wage.
Basically, we're doing the same thing, just different pay, different benefits.
They have to pay part of their health care at over $10 less per hour. We get paid a certain amount of holidays per year. They have four less holidays paid per year.
I'm a third generation Kellogg's. I've been told that there's no way I'm gonna become full-time. I'm never gonna reap the benefits that the people before me have.
We want them to be equal with us. We wanna keep that going forward for our future generations. Legacy people have a pension. Transitionals do not have a pension. We want them to have a pension. So that way when they retire from working here for 20, 30 years, they have something to retire on.
I've seen all the benefits of my grandfather working here for all these years. You know, my dad working here for all these years, then to find out that somewhere along the lines they lost their values on the employees are their best asset, it's a shame.
So here we have that video where we have the people who are working there and we have the company saying, okay, we're not going to have all these pensions anymore. We're going to classify our employees differently. That's going to save them some money. They're trying to increase their bottom line at the expense of the workers. And now we have them coming out this past week saying, hey, we've just invested $91 million in equity. How are they going to stay around?
I don't know, but I have to comment on the sign that said they're greedy, because that was a good one. Did you read the signs in there?
Yes. Yes.
It's so unfortunate because it isn't, there is no equity in those types of decisions. It's a wokeism. And it doesn't trickle down. It doesn't benefit any group of people. It hurts all people. And it actually, you could do a side-by-side of look at the people that are picketing for the equal pay for equal work. And then you put that next to a person who didn't do any of the work. And you say that we're going to give to you. And then you think that those two people will live harmoniously together. Mm-hmm. That's not human nature. That's not how it works. Mm-hmm. And so it's intended to actually cause the division that they claim that they're trying to get rid of. It's intentional because there is no evidence that says me stealing from you and giving to Asia will make everything better. We know that it makes it worse. And so we're going to do it and advertise it. And we're going to do it in such a way when, why don't we turn to Kellogg and say, what were you doing that made you think you were unfair and not equitable and that you were prejudicing a certain group of people? Because if you were doing none of those things, don't start doing it now, because it is the reverse of exactly what you're claiming to fix. And you know, that's what bothers me about a lot of the politics that we have now. It's people are patting themselves on the back saying, well, I donated to Black Lives Matter, therefore I'm not racist. That's not really how it works.
No. So, all right. So let's talk about this a little bit. I am one of these people who believe that we should not be judging people or separating them or dividing them or categorizing people by skin color. I've said this many, many times on my show. I've given speeches on this. We don't separate people by eye color. We don't separate people by hair color. Why skin color, right? I will go back to the fact that people were very insecure. And they said, oh, it's always a tribal mentality, us versus them. There's different. We're going to criticize different. It's just a bunch of insecurities as far as I'm concerned. But when I saw the stuff coming back in the 60s and the 70s, where we're going to have, what was the name of that program that Jesse Jackson was all promoting?
Affirmative Action.
Thank you. Affirmative Action. Where it's like, wait a minute, we have to have so many people come in because of their skin color. I'm going, what happened to qualification? What happened to somebody learning and studying and getting qualified for the job? So you've probably been privy to some conversations in people who have the same skin color as you, who've been saying affirmative action is a good thing. Am I correct in that assumption?
You are. And what's frustrating is that it actually is the exact opposite, because when you achieve success as an educated Black person, and I will tell you, I think probably every Black person would tell you this, you are treated as if you didn't have to pass the same level as a different person. So how did I get helped by that? And more than that, I came from a rough background and I made good decisions. I don't want to give the credit of my good decisions and hard work to some program that didn't impact me. It was me who studied and enrolled in school. And there is a sense of self-worth that the government takes away from a Black person who is successful, because they say, I've heard it said this way, I'm willing to take a chance on you. You're not taking a chance. I built this person with a lot of hard work and I studied. And so it's because it's a self-serving type of a behavior. And that's what we're seeing throughout all of our government. We used to say we don't want to be put in a box and we don't want to segregate. Just look at how many boxes we've created in the last 10 years. We have so many boxes of, are you LGBTQIAA+++? And then that doesn't even count race. And then now it's biracial. And then what is it that you identify as? And then what is your gender? What are your pronouns? We have so many boxes. It's intended to discriminate. Because if we weren't discriminating, we need to check any of that stuff. Just go to work. That's all we need. Go to school.
I'm going to offer a thought on that, that it is a planned effort to help take down this country. Because the communists back 100 years ago in Russia were able to divide by creating class warfare.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't working in America, because it's the kind of society where if you work hard, you can succeed. So class warfare didn't work. It wasn't like you're born into a certain class and we're going to pit one class against the other. In America, you could change. Different generations could move up. You could move up yourself. You could move down. So class warfare wasn't working. So how do you disassemble this nation? You still have to create the division. So they have found division everywhere they can find it. And they're pounding it with that 5-pound sledgehammer. They're just pounding the division in everywhere they go to try to split us, to try to divide us versus them. That's my thought. What's your response on that?
I think you have to add that they're not just doing it that way, but they're planting the seed in children. The attack on the children of our country is significant and it's obvious. And you see it in this drag queen story hour. Why is this something that has gotten so much attention when you consider the number of people in the population that are identifying as this? Yet it's 100% of the conversation everywhere. That doesn't make any logical sense. When I was watching a YouTube video of a young boy reading a book out of the school library where most of what he said they had to bleep. You have teachers giving assignments that have nothing to do with core curriculum. And then you pull the kid out and you listen to their belief system. They are being told that they are hateful if they don't agree with this ideology, that they are racist or they are this or that. We're poisoning the minds of children to cultivate this culture. And then for the people that are already adults, we're trying to smash it to where they can't even speak, where freedom of speech is being banned. Look at, there was a story in Canada where a lady was praying in her head outside of a church or outside of an abortion center it was. And so because it was in her head, she actually was arrested twice for that. And the crime is thought prayer. And so we are intentionally destructing ourselves.
I think you nailed it. They're creating this emotional imprint in these small children that to even think this way is wrong. They're creating the division in those kids' minds too, that these separations are real, when in fact they're not. And we always go where we're focused. I've been teaching this to my clients for decades. You will go wherever you're focused. And if we're focused on division, we're going to get more division. If we're focused on unity, we're going to get more unity.
And I'm going to tell you that if you would like to watch the entire interview with Asia Williams, you can do that by going to newsforia.com, newsforia.com. We'll have that up this weekend, the entire interview. I just really love talking to Asia. She's got great insights and she's not afraid to speak the truth. A couple of things I want to review is what she said before we leave today is she talked about how do you continue to create this division? You tell these people that we're going to give you reparations when there's no intention to give the reparations. And what does that do to the human psyche? You get people all worked up thinking, gee, I'm going to make all this money just because I'm black, and then they don't get it. What a great way to continue fostering more division and hate, because now there's a sense of, I deserve that, and the people aren't getting it, and now there's more hate. They're building this up. The other thing that she talked about was the prayer. So here's a woman who gets arrested for simply praying outside of an abortion clinic. Reminded me of a friend of mine who was going to law school, went to the Supreme Court in Washington, D.C., standing on the steps of the Supreme Court. I'm going back now 30 years. Standing on the steps of the Supreme Court, closed her eyes to pray, and was approached by the police and said, you can't do that here. In what universe is it illegal to pray to God, especially when our founding Supreme Court Chief Justice said we should be relying on Christ? Lots to think about. I'm going to encourage you to get involved. This is Dr. Daniel Bobinski. Stay tuned for next show and next week here on Keep the Republic. Great show for you coming up. We'll catch you then. Until then, be blessed.